Can't believe we're already in March. Sure like to know where spring is. Sure like to catch up to it and be reintroduced. Anybody ready for the winter to be over beside me? But you know what? Winter, summer, fall, I mean spring, he is a good God. He is a good God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, Paul, the apostle, talking, sharing with a man who he mentored, his son, in the gospel, and by the Spirit of God, writing things and saying things to this young man, Timothy. Verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And here's a real powerful statement. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So there is no cheap grace. It cost him something to do these things for us. Redemption, healing, regeneration, salvation. Verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Verse 21, if a man, this is such a powerful phrase here, if a man therefore purge himself. Now some of you remember some of them grandmothers that when you got sick, anybody remember a precious grandmother and she had something to give you, to help you? And it was a purging situation. I'm going to try to say this as nicely. Let's just say that you fell in love again with the restroom. You hung out with the facilities. Because grandma gave you her purgative herbs or whatever. And believe you me, it worked. She knew, and by, I had a grandmother, she had, oh, God bless her heart, rest her soul, Lord, 12 kids, cheaper by the dozen. She's one of my favorite people in the whole world. I used to stay at her house a lot. I was the mouse catcher. I was paid a bounty. Forget them fur traders of history. I was my own fur trader. 1 quarter. In those days, a 25 cents could buy you stuff. Pick up a car, you know, buy a house. I mean, no, okay. Could buy you a number of candy bars in those days, which I was interested in. But I'd lay those traps out, and then, of course, Auntie Esther, her daughter, lived with her and helped take care of Grandma, and she paid me the bounty. So, you see, I have been a hunter in my life. What can I say? Okay, coming back to the word now. If a man therefore, see, we could say this in a number of ways. We could say, if a man therefore, or if a person therefore, will work themselves over and deal with themselves. See, if a man therefore purge himself from these, what? From the dishonorable things of verse 20. Anything dishonorable. Yes, sir. That doesn't bring God glory. If a man therefore deal with himself, put himself under disciplines, so to speak. You understand? I see that in these words. From these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. You see, you and I, we determine. Brother Cody, we determine if we're going to be a vessel of honor. Sanctified. There is a word you don't hear very much. Sanctified. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. Just how much do you want God to use you? Ready? Then deal with yourself. You're going to save me a lot of work. You're going to save the Lord a lot of work. This is what I've discovered. If I will deal with myself, he won't have to hire people and send them to me with ribbons on them. You know, here's your gift. This verse is so powerful. And meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. If you are willing to handle yourself, deal with yourself, discipline yourself, you're going to qualify yourself for special usefulness in the kingdom of God. Lift your hands up. Let's ask God to speak to us. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your beautiful people. Thank you for your mercies on us and your grace, Lord, and your goodness, God. Give us a revelation of this word sanctify, a word seldom mentioned, Lord. Give us a revelation on what sanctification really entails, God. Oh, Father, shine a light on us today. Help us to see you in your word. And would you say, praise the Lord, and clap your hands as unto the Lord. Praise God. You may be seated. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about a word seldom mentioned. I don't know what it is. It's in the scriptures a lot. This word in its different, in its various forms. And Sister Gwen, I'm going to zoom down to share 1 Corinthians 6, just to show them a few more scriptures. This word sanctify, or sanctified, or sanctifying, or sanctification is in the New Testament a lot, but I almost never, what is it? I almost never hear anybody even use the word. And yet you can't be saved without it. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 6:11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed. How many of you know you're washed? And then it says, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Nowhere can I rest on my laurels. If I rest on them, I'm wearing them in the wrong place. You know, laurels supposed to be up here, not down here. If I rest on my laurels, I'm wearing them. You didn't even get that. See me after the altar call. See me after soaking prayer. Sister Christy, Brother Cody, you guys have been growing. And I'm going to tell you one of the reasons why. You've let Jesus and your pastor speak into your life. I was talking into your life almost up to the time that you cut loose and taught us. I ironed about 7-8 ties for you based on the song, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. But he found one in his car. Praise God. Talk about the influence of a pastor. You know, when your pastor will iron some clothes for you, you got to know he loves you. Because I hate ironing. But I do have this penchant against wrinkles, and that's really getting a tough road to hoe these days. The younger I get, that's a tough call right there. Listen to Acts 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance. Somebody say, an inheritance. Among all them which are what? Sanctified. In other words, when we let the sanctifying, Woo! When we let the sanctifying process, and that is what it is. This word sanctified from our opening scripture in 2 Timothy 2:20 and 21, the root of it means to make holy, to purify, to consecrate. So we determine. We can determine. I don't know about you. I don't want to be just Mr. Vanilla. I don't want to be just Mr. Average. When people say, how are you doing? Are you doing okay? That it almost offends me because I don't want to just do okay. Has anybody seen that little advertisement? God bless you. I'm not going to, if you were on Hulu or whatever you were, okay. And they had that advertisement and they're in a restaurant and the waitress is going to make a recommendation. And she says, well, such and such is okay. And then one of the ladies speaks up and says, it's only okay. It's only okay. And well, you could try this. Well, it's okay. You mean it's only okay? Who wants to order something off the menu if the people that work there say it's only okay? God didn't come to just make you okay. You understand what I'm saying? He wants to set you on fire. He wants to set me on fire. He wants to do some unusual things in us and through us. And your consecration, the sanctifying process that God has called you and me to, will determine what level of usefulness we will have in the kingdom of God. Raise your hands. Let's give him honor. He's the worthy one. Sanctify. What a word. I just never. I go to conferences. Ladies and gentlemen, I go to conferences. I can't even keep up with all the new meetings. This district is an amazing district, but I've never seen so many meetings. And I never. And I hear a lot of amazing things, but I never hear anybody use the word sanctify. It's such a beautiful, strong word. Now, some of us, we've got people, how many of you have been to Bible college? Raise your hand. We have some folks that have been to Bible college. And then maybe it's just your pastor you've heard teach on this. But to sanctify means to set apart for sacred purposes. It's referring to a cleansing process. And here's what I've come to believe. Have you ever noticed that the longer you serve God, the more you're tempted to compromise? It's a process. Time jades. It is easy to become a jaded Pentecostal, allowing your flesh, allowing your life certain liberties and privileges that when you were new in God, you judged quickly. But after years of coming to church, we if we're not careful, we can learn to serve God in sort of a haphazard, diluted, compromising way until we've become jaded. And the convictions, oh, let me preach just a little while to you. The convictions we used to have, we don't have anymore because we've let the world wear us down. We can listen to Netflix and hear the F word over and over again, and it doesn't bother us anymore. But when we were young in God, we told somebody, stop it. Come on now, let me preach to us. We need more than just a move of the Spirit. We need some bold voices in our life that are not afraid to talk to us about holiness and godliness. Woo! Here's what I've come to believe. Sanctification is a cleansing process of holiness that counteracts the world's process of becoming jaded, shallow, and carnal. All the great revivalists of history had a revelation of holiness and separation. This process called sanctification, it's God at work. What's he doing? He's turning trash into treasure. He's turning junk into jewels. He's turning waste into wonder. It is a process, and nowhere can you go and divorce yourself from the dealings of God, because he lives in you, walks in you, breathes through you, speaks through you. You and I are involved in a process of cleansing. Lift your hands and say, I receive it, Lord. I receive it. I do. I receive it, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Praise God for his patience. Praise God for his mercy. But it's not stupid mercy. It's not crazy mercy. He doesn't just dole it out when you keep doing something that you repented of and you can come back and do it again and do it again. There's a little verse of scripture in Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. There's got to be something inside of us that says, I'm done with that. I'm done with that. Darkness. I'm done with that. Alcoholism. I'm done with that bondage. I'm done with that addiction. It doesn't bring God glory. You are involved in a process called sanctification. If any man therefore will purge himself. Yeah. It's amazing. Would you believe we had section 5 ministerial prayer up in Dublin on Tuesday morning? And I said, Bishop Collins, whom we love dearly, he is so much fun. But he's also a spiritual man. Brother Collins, he's the one that when I stood there, he's in the same room that Ember died in. Laying there dying, fighting for his life. Opens up one of his eyes, Brother Welch, and says to me, hey, Brother Meadows. And I go, yeah, bro. And I didn't know what he was going to say, you know, like, make sure, you know, everything, help make sure everything's taken care of. I'm dying here. He said, could you go downstairs and get me a coffee at Tim Hortons? Barely enough life in him never to even say anything. I tease him to this day about that. You got to have your priorities in line. Praise God, you might be dying, but could you run downstairs and get me a Tim Hortons coffee? Oh, praise God. I had people there that were protecting him, and somehow I smuggled coffee back to him in his room so he could have some Timmy Hortons coffee. I'm going to tell you what, there are some priorities when you live for God, and one of them is, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and ye shall be sons and daughters unto me, saith the Lord Almighty. You want to see his almightiness? Come out from among them. Come out from among them. Purge yourself. Discipline yourself. Preach to yourself. Deal with yourself. And obey him. And obey his call to purity. So Brother Collins gets up, and there's preachers sitting there. He said, I don't even know why I feel to do this. And he began, in his own winsome way, loving way, to call us to a greater carefulness. There's preachers sitting there. You know what I think? I think all of us need voices. All of us need elders. All of us need people who we cannot buy off. I'm not talking about being hard and nasty. You know, we hate that. I believe you can be holy and not be hard and critical about it. I'm not talking about a holiness where we walk out there and we judge everybody that doesn't live on the level we got. If we think that's what it is, there's so much arrogance in it. We could sink the Titanic with no help from a glacier or an iceberg. You understand what I'm saying? Pride grieves the Spirit of God. My holiness, if it's real, never makes me arrogant. It humbles me. To live right humbles me. To get close to God humbles me. If you've got some holiness, wonderful. Just don't get proud about it, because the very Spirit of God that you attracted to your life through personal discipline can vacate the premises when he runs in to judgmentalism. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It should never make you proud. It should never make us go out there and judge everybody that's not doing what you're doing. It doesn't elevate. It takes our bodies and makes them subservient to his Spirit. Understand? So, I took notes like a madman. Would you believe I had Brother Tibbs recording the devotional? Brother Aaron, I've already called back. Would you send me that clip? I got a few things I didn't get written down in my notes, because he had some statements there and I was busy typing other things and stuff was flying at me. I'm typing, stuff's flying at me. I'm typing. I want that video clip. I want to hear it again. I need men of God. I need elders. Can I say that again? We all need elders. We all need elders. We all need somebody that can call us to attention and call us to prayer and call us to brokenness and call us to spirituality. We are involved in a holy, purifying process. Woo! We won this guy several years ago in Lynchburg. Bigger than me. I was going to say, I'm not I don't think I'd be considered a dwarf or even tiny. Tiny's not my nickname. When I see some of these great big tall guys, you know, in stores, I'll go, I bet your nickname is Shorty. Then I'll say, I want you on my basketball team. Please, when we form a basketball team, please be on. I mean, they're walking around like this. I thought I was tall. I get around these guys like, humble city. Okay. Here's Stubby here saying, please be on my basketball team. He done dug us out. If you don't have somebody digging you out and somebody challenging you, it's very easy to start making little compromises. Stuff that you put up with that you never used to. You see, the process of God's sanctification counteracts the process of the world that tries to harden us and make us worldlier. Love not the world. What did he say? Love not the world and the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John 2:15. Isn't it? Read something like that. That's not in our notes, but it just came to me. Love not the world. We're so breezy. And here's another thing that troubles me is when we're very frivolous. Constant diet of being frivolous and shallow and stupid and crazy. Now, those of you that have been around me got to know how much fun I love having. Woo. So, Brother Woolridge would stand, 6'4", maybe, you suppose, hon? We won him in a Bible study. You know how hungry he was for God, Brother Sandy? He had like these notebooks, you know, like college kids, high school kids, so on, junior high kids, buy them, middle school now. And he would write out by hand all the scriptures. He was that hungry for God. He became my men's director. But he worked for a, an air conditioning and heating company. And he'd step inside. We had a beautiful house in the suburb of Forest, Virginia, on the outside. It was supposed to be the classy suburb, right? He'd step inside my house, Angela, and the first thing he'd do before he even said, "Well, hello, Pastor," he'd step inside the door and he'd reach down and unlatch the door that when you opened it up, there was my air conditioning filter. He'd pull it out and look it over. Serious. Thinking, dude, this is a unique visit. Wow. Before he even says, "Praise the Lord, Pastor," he's checking out my filters. But you see, that's what sanctification is. It's a filter. It's a constant filtering process. God has you and me. See, we had an event. It's called the new birth and it's awesome. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost," Acts 2:38. We had an event. We got born again, but God's dealings don't stop there. They just begin. Just as the world pulls us into compromise, God draws us into sanctification. God's process interrupts the world's process of making us carnal, compromised, and powerless. Oh, wow. Why do you have like an oil filter on your car, in your car? How many of you is putting extra thousands of miles? They go to change your, okay, thank you. And they go to change your oil and it looks like a tire that's been melted down. It's so dark and thick and almost syrupy. They love to come around and say, see what we put in your car? Oh, that's, and it's nice. I'm glad they do that. I'm just saying that you can get your oil. What is oil a type of in the scripture? The Holy Ghost. You can get your oil so filled with debris. I'm going to tell you what the internet, you ought to judge yourself. The internet, where you go, what you look at, what you read. Have somebody that works with you. Hallelujah. Put some brakes on. Put some fences up. Put some security up. I'm telling you right now, it's easy to access anything that somebody hungers after unless you have the Spirit of God working in you. And you're willing to be honest with the Lord and honest with others. He wants to sanctify you. So he said, "If a man therefore purge himself, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use." And that's why he can't use some of us sometimes. Woo. We had this amazing evangelist come to our church years ago. We were in Lynchburg. And he was gifted, man. Worked in a word of knowledge. Worked. He prophesied that I would come to this area. He prophesied a lot of things. Very sensitive man of God. Blessed our church. But I remember him saying that there were things that he couldn't do that others could do. And the way he said it, I knew he wasn't saying, "Oh, you know, not black and white stuff." He's talking about gray stuff that others could maybe do, but he couldn't if he wanted to remain an anointed vessel of God. There's things that he knew he could do, but if he did, it would grieve God, because God had dealt with him about holiness and about personal purity. Ladies and gentlemen, I want a move of God that'll blow your shoes off. I want a move of God that'll shake this town up. Do you understand what I'm saying? We can't be full of compromise and impurity and uncleanness and have a move of God and think that God can bless that. I'll tell you what, every revival that's ever broken out, there's always some kind of a transactional call to holiness and brokenness and purity and people rediscovering the power of repentance. Could we ever have a revival of repentance where we got honest with God and honest with His Word and honest with our own hearts? It's a word you don't hear very often. It's called sanctify. Lift your hands with me right now, would you? As we pray together, he wants to anoint you. He wants to use you. Oh, in the name of Jesus. I worship you, Lord. God, I want to be used of you. I know there are people in this building that feel that they want to be used of God. It's up to you. You determine. I determine how much he's going to use me by my level of consecration, by my level of godliness, my personal godliness. Woo! Come out from among them. You can't do this in yourself. And be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not, don't even touch that stuff. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. There are anointings and gifts that God wants to trust us with, but our insurance is a consecration. How do we know? How does God know that we can handle a greater anointing? It's a consecration. Be careful what you put up on Facebook. Don't always be the town clown on Facebook, messing around. Again, I'm a fun-loving dude. But I see so much craziness, and some of it grieves the heart of God, because we're not going to win souls just playing games. Hey, we're running out of time, ladies and gentlemen. We're running out of time. I want to get closer to him. There are anointings that he wants to give you, but you need a consecration to protect the anointing. That's another word we don't hear. Hey, Brother Sandy, when I was your age, don't let him kid you, he's not a teenager. But he's got a young heart. And he's not an old guy either, praise the Lord. But Brother Sandy, when I was a teenager, I heard the word consecration on a regular basis preached about. Now I almost never hear it. I want to ask you why. Because we're not worried about that anymore. We've got on to bigger and better things. Oh, no. Come on back to the prayer room. Come on back to the altar for an altered life. Come on back to the altar, because you never get away from this. Why? Because it's not an event. It's a process. In our movement, we honor events, but God honors processes. God has you and me in a sanctifying, purifying process. He wants to use us. If a man therefore purge himself, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, real quick, in Jesus' name. Oh, listen to this as we get ready to close. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. I want to read that last verse again. 1 Thessalonians 4:4. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. I said to God, when my elder turned this every way but loose, I said, God, oh God, I received that word. I called up Brother Tibbs. Brother Tibbs, could you send me that video clip? There's a few things I didn't get in my notes. Please send me that video. Oh my. And I've told God several times, Lord, I was listening. Lord, it was to me. It was for me. Lord, I received that word. I don't ever want my elders to feel like they can't preach to me and I'm going to shrug off what they have to say. No, I'm going to take it like it's words of gold and pictures of silver the Proverbs talks about. I need people that will dig me out. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, it is easy to get carnal and not know you're carnal. It's easy to grow worldly and not know you're worldly, because we just make excuses and we come up with all these escape routes. And the Spirit of God was to deal with us. I was around Pastor James Kilgore, who in his heyday pastored probably at that time, perhaps our biggest church. It ran hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. My precious, precious church secretary sat under his ministry. How did God trust him with one of the largest churches? If you were ever around Brother Kilgore, he was such a humble man. He was such a godly man. He sent somebody to get him a coffee once down at the local coffee shop. And he said, just tell them that Pastor K wants it and they'll know what to send you back with. And sure enough, in that coffee shop, he had won. Listen to this, folks. He had won 14 people. Mm-hmm. When's the last time you won some folks out of a coffee shop? But he was so consecrated. He was so clean. He was so pure. I loved being around him. I didn't think he even knew who I was. And we went on a trip to Israel, and we were at one of the airports, and I walked up. He said, well, hello, Brother Meadows. Well, that's like, wow, thank you, Jesus. One of the great men of God. Wow, thank you, Lord, that he even knew my name. Never forget that. I was calling him up before he died, Sister Peggy, I think I told you this, and trying to encourage him. I heard that he had had a fall, and just let him know how much we love him. Great man of God, but he was about purity. Was he not? He was about brokenness and prayerfulness, and that's why his testimony was so believable, that in his later years, he was still winning souls. I promise you, some of us have gotten so used to the world, we can't tell it when we're being worldly. We can't even tell it. We can't discern it. But the writer, this old man of God, who won over 40 million people, the Apostle Paul, 40 million people said, if a man therefore, hey, son Timothy, my son in the gospel, if a man therefore purge himself, work his motor over, discipline himself, deal with himself, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. You and I, we determine what level of anointing we have. Come on now. Somebody knows I'm preaching the truth. Somebody knows I'm preaching the truth. If you dig into the lives of great men of God, you will discover the vessels, the men of God that were greatly used, almost all of them had a personal revelation on holiness. I've got to judge attitudes. Billy Cole said, that's why we're not having the move of God in America that we're having in these other countries. He said, it's our attitudes in America. I get around people from, there's a young lady that we were over at Sunny Street, such a beautiful, informal little breakfast there with some guys, but she works in the Sunny Street up there on the edge of Sawmill, and she's from Turkey. Coal black hair, kind of like Jasmine. Coal black hair. She got that little sound in her accent, and I remember, you know, and she waited on us, and she had a photographic memory. I do too. It's just developing the negatives that kind of, you know, challenges me. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. And reason why I mentioned her is she's from Turkey. People that I meet from other countries, in most cases, I'd say 9 out of 10 when I talk to them, you can feel their humility. Oh, she was apologetic because she forgot something. You know, one or two things, because she was covering like several people and memorizing everything they wanted and bringing it to them. And she got something that wasn't quite on, and so she was apologizing. She was so humble. But us Americans, we're proud. We're arrogant. A lot of wonderful Americans. I know that. That's true. But in the by and by, I walk into stores and I watch people the way they walk and how they'll blast right by you, never greet you, never look at you, never recognize you. I don't know what you call it. I call it arrogance. I call it Ohio's tendencies. You say, well, you're just a southern boy. I was really born in the north, but I live on the south side. That's why I like to go and preach in North Carolina. Well, honey, would you like a refill? Sure enough. 6 barrels full. Baby doll, would you like some hash browns with those? Go bring me the biggest potato you can find. They're so sweet. And we're like, would you like taters with that? I didn't want to hang out in the South for a while, you know. Drink some of that sweet tea. Some of us need to drink a little more of that sweet tea. You want taters with that burger? I'm sorry. I believe that the Lord wants to fill us with his love. You've heard me tell the exploits of Smith Wigglesworth. He was kind of, he was unique. And he didn't put up with craziness. He meant business, but he was a man that loved people and loved God. And God had been using him in amazing miracles. You know, his background, he was a plumber. I could say something about something right now. I'm going to try not to go there. I'm thinking about a little lady in the Democrat Party that thinks that because she was a bartender on Long Island, she can now tell her entire Democrat Party how to work and how to be successful, and she just got in the door. There's an arrogance in this culture that blows my mind. This little dark-haired wonder of wonders is now telling the Democrat bosses how to conduct business and do politics and so on, and she just got elected. AOC, and God bless her and touch her and help her. I'm just telling you that if I just got inside the door, I wouldn't want to be called Boy Wonder. I'd want to sit down, hush up, and learn some things before I had any suggestions. You know what I'm saying? Woo! I'm just saying. Smith Wigglesworth was an amazing guy. The way that he dealt with the devil was ruthless. I mean, when he discerned the enemy, the little boy that he pulled out of a casket that had been dead for, I think it was a couple days or so, and pushed him up against the wall and shouted at him to walk in Jesus' name. And when he unlocked the funeral parlor doors and these grieving parents had their little 5-year-old boy run into their arms, welcome to Pentecost. There's a reason why God trusted him. He was also ruthless about personal purity. Listen to this. He was staying at a house, and this is my closing. He was staying at George Stormont's house. And when he got up one morning, he told George, he said, God spoke to me on your bed. Now that was really kind of because God was always talking to Smith, right? So George said, I asked him, well, what did he say? And Smith Wigglesworth said, this is what he said. Wigglesworth, I am going to burn you all up until there is no more Wigglesworth, only Jesus. And now we're talking about a sanctifying process. And Mr. Stormont said that he stood at the bottom of those stairs with his hands raised and little rivers of tears coming down the sides of his face and yelling to God, oh God, come and do it. I don't want them to see me anymore. Only Jesus. I'm going to open this altar. I want somebody to walk down here and let this be a day of decision. Let this be a day of consecration. He wants to bring a fresh anointing on your life. He wants to use you in praying for the sick. He wants to use you in ministry. He wants to use you in teaching his word. Would you let the fire of God burn in you and burn some debris? Would you let God's filtering process... Would you let God's filtering process? Lord, we humble ourselves. Lord, we humble ourselves. We do not come full of arrogance. We do not come full of ourselves. We know we need you. If a man, therefore, will purge himself, if a woman, if a person will purge themselves from these lower dishonorable things. Hallelujah. He shall be a vessel unto honor. sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Oh, Father, we love you. We worship you. Let the sanctified,
as you draw me, as before you.
Don't let there be any debris in our spirit. Don't let there be any darkness, any cloudiness to the river, any provocation, any anger, any bitterness, anything that would pollute the river of God that flows through us. Great God, in Jesus' name.
Is mercy and grace
a word that we seldom hear? Sanctify, sanctify our hearts, sanctify. Would it be okay to invite him to sanctify, to continue his filtering? Continue. Oh, precious God, give us a revelation on personal godliness. Give us a hunger, Lord.
I surrender.
Give us a hunger.
I surrender.
He'll give us power over things. He'll give us power. He'll give us power over our flesh. He'll give us power over twisted desires. He'll give his power. He'll slay the dragon. Thank you, God. I join your beautiful people, Lord. We blend our voices together today. Don't let there be in us, Lord, anything that grieves the Holy Ghost.